for listening to Curious Medicine. This episode is not suitable for children. Hi, and welcome back to Curious Medicine. I'm Christy.
Hi, this is Mindy.
And today we're talking about lice.
Ew.
We're going to be so itchy.
I've been itchy for the past week.
I know. I haven't itched as much as I have since I've been researching for this podcast. So
Christy sent me a text message of a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I forgot.
At bedtime. And I'm like,
I forgot about it.
Bro, I'm not watching this. I'm about to go to bed. I'm not trying to scratch all night.
I just wanted to freak you out a little bit. I was like, I didn't really expect that
Misery
you would watch
loves
it,
company, huh?
Yes. Of course. I mean, I wanted you to be as, you know, shocked as I was. Okay. So we're talking about lice. Mindy, do you have any stories having to do with lice?
I have a coworker who said they brought in this elderly patient to the ER one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were assessing her. And if you don't know this, when you're in the ER, they have to remove all of your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got to removing her underwear. And they took her underwear off. And her pubic hair was crawling with lice to where you could see it from 6 feet away.
Okay, those are called crabs, which we're going to talk about today.
Which is so funny because I didn't know that crabs were lice.
Yes, crabs are pubic lice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Okay, so then what happened? They saw that she had crabs, and then what?
I think everybody had an initial shock moment of, oh, God.
They were all itching and their crotches.
I bet.
Because last night, after I finished researching everything, the very last topic I finished was pubic lice, which are crabs.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on the couch, and I just felt like things were crawling in my pubic hairs.
Are crabs technically considered an STD? Because I ask because you know what they say, like, this woman was elderly. Like, you know what they say about nursing homes, right? Everybody's sleeping with each other.
Oh.
So if crabs are considered an STD, maybe she was getting freaky.
Oh.
With 3B and 3D. And
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if it's an STD or not.
I mean, I guess you could get them from having sex with someone.
Oh, 100%. That's almost always how you get it.
Yeah. Yeah, but are they considered an STD? Like, if I'm watching a movie or a TV show and they're like, oh, that gave me crabs. It's like, everyone. So I think most people would associate it. But is it technically considered?
Huh. I'll have to do some research. Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Well, I also have a story that I didn't realize that I did have.
Oh, let's hear it.
About head lice. And that is when I worked at a pediatric facility, we were in a procedure room where it was like a surgical procedure kind of room. And so everybody had to wear hats, you know, and surgical scrubs and whatever. So our patient came in and she actually didn't have a hat, or maybe she had a hat or like a bouffant cap or whatever. But maybe the nurses were like trying to adjust it or something because she had really, really thick hair. She was a teenager. And anyway, long story short, they saw lice crawling. And we were just like so like throughout the whole exam because we were just like, oh, my God, we know what's under there.
Would you treat that like bed bugs? Like, would you go home and wash all your scrubs in like super hot water? And
at that time, I was wearing hospital scrubs. So I wore my own clothes to work, changed in, and then changed before I came home. But it's that creepy crawly feeling of, you know, like when someone yawns and then it's contagious and you yawn. It's that same thing where you see lice or you know, or it's suggested and then you just start itching like I am now.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know why that is with some things and not with others, but anyway.
Subconscious, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't remember. I mean, I remember us having to tell like the recovery room But I didn't go over with the patient to the recovery room. But I just remember it being like, oh my God, okay, we're going to have a contingent, you know, contingency plan.
Yeah.
Because she's got head lice.
Yeah.
Maybe we even recovered her in our room instead of taking her to recovery. Because it's very contagious.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about right now. Okay. So let's just talk about lice in general. Okay. Human lice. What are human lice? First of all, these are very tiny creatures. They're about the size of a sesame seed. They're wingless insects which feed off of humans, and they do not feed off of animals. So if you have a lice infestation in you or your family, you do not need to worry about your pets. Because
so it's the human flea.
Very good. Yes. Yes, Mindy. It's like the human flea. Exactly. Okay. Human lice cannot fly. They cannot hop and they cannot jump. Each year, louse infestations still affect hundreds of millions of people worldwide. And when I say louse, that is the singular of lice. So louse is one bug. Lice are more than one bug. A louse-infested person can be infested by thousands of lice, each of which bites 2 to 5 times per day.
Golly. Oof. I think there are people that don't know they have them.
I'm so itchy.
Where are you itchy? Your head or your pubes?
My arm in this case. Thankfully, no, my pubes are not itching yet. Okay, Mindy, there are 3 types of lice. Head, body, and pubic, of which all are highly contagious, easily transmitted.
If they don't fly, hop, or jump, how do they transfer?
Okay, so here we go. Direct transmission is by close body-to-body contact, such as when kids are playing together, okay? So you're on the monkey bars, your hair is falling down because you're hanging upside down and your little friend runs underneath you or whatever, you know, yeah. Or y'all are telling secrets or whatever at a slumber party because you both are laying your head on the same pillow or whatever. You're sharing a bed at a slumber party or maybe with your sibling, for example. Indirectly, by contact with items such as infested linen, brushes or combs, even clothing.
I think the brushes and combs is what I've heard most.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Don't share your hairbrush.
For sure, yeah. Scarves, hair ornaments like rubber bands or barrettes, scrunchies. Yeah. Scrunchies, yeah. Oh, they have to be a big...
Oh, I bet.
A big one. Hats or helmets for like kids that play sports. They thrive in humid conditions and in temperatures at about 85 degrees. So Texas is the perfect place. Yes, quite literally. Yes, yes. They can be killed with hot temperatures of 122 degrees or higher, but it has to be for like 30 minutes at a time. They cannot be killed with soap and water. So just getting in the bathtub and washing your hair with shampoo and water, that
ain't going to clean them.
That ain't going to cut it. Exactly. They'll be like, ha ha, sucka.
Thanks for the pay.
Right, yeah. They typically eat 5 times per day, which means they bite you 5 times per day. Okay. Again, this is just lice in general. This is any of the 3 types of lice, okay? Female lice can have several successive partners. So I like to just think of them as a bunch of sluts. They're just, you know, maybe they're serial monogamous. I don't know.
But instead of saying slutty, I'm going to say, oh, you're lousy.
Yeah. You louse. A female louse can lay up to 300 eggs in her lifetime. So they lay about 8 or 10 eggs per day. Female body lice lay eggs in the folds of clothing. Female head lice lay eggs in the hair. The female head lice excretes an adhesive which holds the egg in place on the shaft of the hair at or near the scalp. Isn't that disgusting?
Yes.
I mean, Gross. And I think I read that it said that it came from her reproductive part.
I wonder when they, like,
but I couldn't find that article again, like where it said it. So I wasn't going to say it, but I'm pretty sure it's like it comes from her.
Yeah.
From her pubic area.
I wonder when they check for lice, do they find more eggs or do they find more lice?
Well,
I guess it depends.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that because it depends on how new the infestation is.
Oh, okay.
Because the eggs that the female lays, they hatch after 7 to 12 days. So if you have less live lice and more eggs, it's a new...
just got infected.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
All right, so Mindy, take it away and tell us about the three different kinds of human lice.
They're classified on where they habitate.
Okay.
Your head, which I think is the most common.
Yes.
Right?
It lives lives
in the hair on your head.
Except for that old lady in the hospital.
Well, we'll say she was one of the uncommon ones. You have body lice that live in your clothing, but they have to feed on humans to survive. Some carry potentially deadly microbes.
Oh, yeah. And that is such a big topic because they were responsible for like a typhus epidemic that we just are not going to talk about body lice really on this episode because it could be its own show.
And the last one is pubic lice, which we had said is crabs.
Yes.
They live in body hair, you know, on your pubic area, pretty much anywhere other than your scalp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we also have hair.
Oh, they can live anywhere. They can live other places too.
Arms, legs, chest, armpit, and not just the pubic area, but your perineal area as well.
So, ooh, so they can live in your butt hairs too? Butthole hairs.
Ugh. They can live in your facial hair.
What?
Beards, mustaches. So if that lady from the nursing home had gone down on her and they had a beard... Your eyebrows, they can live in your eyebrows and your eyelashes. So pretty much anywhere with hair.
Wait, wait, wait. Your eyelashes?
Yes. You know, they had told me not to share eye makeup, like mascara and stuff.
Yeah. Who is they?
Just they, growing up. That's what okay. They said, right?
Them.
Don't share it because you'll get pink eye.
Right.
But little did we know, we could also get lice.
Yeah, I read
in our eyelashes.
I read an article that said if children have crabs in their eyelashes, then there should be a high suspicion of sexual
abuse.
Yes.
That's very sad.
I know. I know. So
oh God, that makes me angry.
I know. I know. All right. So let's start with, let's take a deeper dive into head lice.
Okay.
Mindy, talk to us about head lice.
So they live on the scalp, the head on your hair.
Mm-hmm.
The hair on your head.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Oopsie.
It's prevalent in all countries. No one is immune to this. It's prevalent in all aspects of society.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your race, your socioeconomic status, doesn't matter how clean you are either. Even the cleanest person can catch head lice.
Yeah, I even read that some places said that lice actually prefer clean hair.
Yes, agreed.
So
most
makes me want to stop washing my hair.
I mean, dry shampoo for the win. Most affected groups are elementary school children.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that was something like they used to line you up and check for scoliosis. Do you remember that? They make you bend over in a line and check for scoliosis.
I remember
make you check for lice.
I remember being in sixth grade PE and having to take my shirt off in front of everybody and feeling very modest. about taking my shirt off in front of all of the girls in my PE class. It was very disconcerting to me. I didn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in sixth grade, my parents didn't let me shave my legs yet. So PE was a bitch for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You had to dress out.
And I'm hairy. Okay.
So they just did a random inspection for head lice, huh? I don't remember them doing that. I remember the scoliosis, but not the head lice.
Yeah, the school nurse.
Hmm.
Maybe they put that into effect in my era.
Yeah. Right. They learned a thing or two by the time you came along. Back in my day.
So in the U.S. alone for head lice, there's 6 to 12 million cases each year.
Wow.
Yes. One article claimed that a head lice infestation is more prevalent among children than all other childhood communicable diseases combined.
Wow.
Combined.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Yeah. I read an article that also claimed that they were second only to childhood to colds in children.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I would be afraid if I had a child and I had to treat my child for head lice, like how we're just itching just talking about this. I would be itching so much that I would need someone to check me every hour for lice.
Yeah.
Because I would just be like, oh, no, I'm too paranoid. Like the paranoia would just get me.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you if I ever get crabs in my eyebrows or in my eyelashes, they're coming out. they're coming out. Because I don't think, we're going to talk about it later. Yeah. We're going to talk about it. I'll tell this later. Okay.
Yes. Tell me later.
All right.
Don't forget.
Okay.
So shaving may be the best solution, but shorter hair does not protect you against getting head lice.
Right.
So it's not like you can just cut it and it'll be better.
Right.
You would have to completely shave
Maybe it. Easier to see to nitpick to get the nits out.
Well, I think that would depend. I feel like on my hair, you could, but if I had a buzz cut, it would almost be
It stiff. Might almost be harder. Yeah. Yeah. Because you couldn't separate. You couldn't part it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But persons of African American descent are less likely to become infested. I don't know why that is.
Well, I grew up believing that they couldn't be infested. But I did read while doing this research that they absolutely can. They're less likely, but they can be infested.
All right. So when it comes to symptoms of head lice, Christy, when you think of head, what is the most obvious, most world-renowned symptom of head lice?
I get itchy. I get itchy just by the suggestion of it, just by thinking of it, I get itchy.
We're going to have scabs after this because you and I are both scratching so much.
Yeah.
So during feeding, the louse secretes a toxin in its saliva that's injected into the scalp. The severity of it depends on how long the infestation has gone untreated.
Oh, yeah. I read that toxin that they secrete in their saliva is the part that makes you itch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. And it'll create tiny sores on the scalp from their bites.
Mm.
It'll give you that crawling, tickling sensation in your hair and give you difficulty sleeping, which that's why I didn't watch that video you sent me right before I went to bed because I knew I wouldn't be able to go to sleep.
Yeah,
But I think they say that because lice are more active at night.
Yeah, but if you don't actually have lice.
They're imaginary more active at night.
All right.
So whenever we're talking about diagnosing head lice, it's based on the presence of nits or the lice themselves.
Yeah.
Nits,
what are the nits?
They're just the eggs.
Okay. All right.
You can use a special fine tooth comb, a fine tooth louse comb.
Mm-hmm.
Examine the entire head, but lice are most likely to lay eggs in the hair at the crown of the head, the back of the neck, or directly over and behind the ears. That's why you should always wash behind your ears.
Mm. Mm.
And can you find a lice comb at Walgreens?
Let's see. Probably, but you can buy the over the counter.
Can I get one on Amazon?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay.
Or you could become an archaeologist and dig one up, which we're going to talk about later.
Because, I mean, I've never seen one. I don't remember growing up and seeing them anywhere.
Oh, well, okay. I'm going to show you.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to show you some.
I look forward to it.
Yes, okay. It's coming up quick.
So if you're talking about consequences or like long-term effects of having head lice, there are none,
okay,
per se. They do not transmit diseases like body lice do. That is not something that head lice does.
Okay.
So if you're talking about long-term effects, don't happen with head lice. But they may cause distractions, low self-esteem, embarrassment, anger, frustration, guilt, or shame, which I think I would experience it, these things, if I had head lice as an adult. As a child, I don't know that I would experience these things. You know, you're very resilient as a child. And
I think it depends on how old you are, maybe. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
but yeah, so you think, so that's interesting.
Let's pick it apart.
Let's nitpick that a little bit.
Let's egg pick that a little bit.
I mean, that's where the term nitpick comes from, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Let's lice egg comb this.
Well, because you're getting down to...
With a fine-tooth comb.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Is that where the term nitty-gritty comes from, too?
Let's pick this apart with a fine-tooth comb.
I am mind blown.
I
did you know this before?
Well,
yes. You did your research?
I mean...
Before you did your research for this head lice episode.
Okay, I probably... Well, I mean, I'm just saying it like now that we're sitting here talking about it.
Yeah. But did you know that beforehand? Nitpick was referencing screening for lice eggs?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I thought about it.
I mean, I knew what nitpick meant, but I never knew it was a reference.
I don't know.
Am I yelling at you?
A little bit. I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? Whatever. But that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's pick this apart a little bit. I find it interesting that as an adult, especially because we work in healthcare, mm-hmm, that you would be more, it would be more mortifying to you today as an adult to contract something like this than when you were a child.
Yeah. So, I was ignorant as a child, just like, oh, I have lice. Like I had chicken pox. You know, like it's a part of life. Like, oh, this is what I got this week. Have to take a bath in some fucking weird chicken pox bath.
Actually.
Right. Like actually, it didn't cause me trauma. But now actually, if my coworkers found out that I had head lice, I guarantee you I'd hear about it for the next 10 years.
Actually, that's the way head lice should be treated. Like chicken, like as common as chicken pox, because it is more common than chicken pox. And so it
then
should
chicken pox
not
and other childhood things combined.
Right. It should not be stigmatized. But sadly it is. And so, so I think that is so interesting.
I mean, let's say.
Yeah, I guess I too would not want anyone to know
if I
got head lice.
Let's say we have a coworker.
Mindy, let's make a pact.
Let's say we have a coworker whose name is Brian, right? And he finds out that you have head lice.
Yeah.
And proceeds to make fun of you every day for it. How are you going to feel?
Well, okay. I'm 50 years old now. And I really can laugh at myself. I am trying to think. If I got head lice today, I probably could make fun of me right along with everybody else. Now, if I got crabs, I don't know if I could laugh about that.
Same thing.
And I don't think I would tell anybody.
I mean, differentiation on, you know, the type, but it's still lice. But that goes back to the stigma of,
right,
obviously everybody would assume crabs is an STD.
Yeah. 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 I think it is an STD.
Yeah. Socially,
I'm declaring it an STD.
Yeah. Medicine and margaritas,
gross,
people, has claimed that...
Pubic lice
are an STD.
We have declared... Okay. What else would you be embarrassed about if you got, like, as a communicable disease? Remember the other day when we had a bed bug?
To be fair, I have a rectovaginal fistula, so I was farting out of my vagina for like 5 years.
Okay.
And never mind. I have a colostomy bag now, and it farts on its own. I'll even have squirting diarrhea in front of my boss's boss, and I have to sit there and act like it doesn't faze me.
Are you going to want to edit this?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So... Never mind.
Yeah. If you want to talk about being able to laugh at yourself, can do it.
But wait, you would be more embarrassed about head lice?
This is a disease that I've had for 8 years.
Yeah.
I've had time.
It's also not communicable.
Very true. Nobody gave this to me.
Right. Yeah. No asshole sitting too close to you on the train gave you Crohn's disease.
Yeah. It's true. Can't blame my DX for it either.
All right. That was an interesting detour. All right. Let's get to the fun part. Treatment of head lice. Okay. Some of the things that I'm about to tell you are going to be redundant across time. Okay.
Okay.
Because some of the treatments that they did, like, in the most ancient times are going to be similar or the same treatments that we do currently, perhaps. Okay. So there's going to be some redundancy. I'm already well aware of that. All right. Ancient lice treatments. Far and away, the most common treatment from ancient times until now is removing lice by hand.
Makes me think of monkeys.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So before combs were invented, they removed them by hand, okay? And then once combs were invented, they started using these lice combs to remove them. Lice combs facilitated easy... They're the very, very, very fine tooth combs, okay? And they're short toothed as well, okay? So fine tooth just means that the teeth are very, very close together. And then they have short teeth, so they're not, you know, they're not these long things. These lice combs facilitated easier removal of adult lice and nits. So the adult lice bugs that are crawling around on your head and their eggs that they lay, that the females lay. All right. They would use these lice combs every 1 to 3 days as a treatment and also as prevention by removing mature lice, which will lay eggs and perpetuate the life cycle.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that you would, every day or every second or third day, you would have someone go through your hair with this fine tooth comb and get rid of any live lice that they see.
You know what I'm
thinking
of? Crawling
around. What?
What if, you know, I said they test for scoliosis or you line up and they did the same thing for checking for lice?
Yeah.
What if there was an outbreak in my class and that's why I... remember that experience.
Oh.
And you don't.
Oh, like maybe they didn't want to tell.
Yeah. Me. Maybe my mom knew and she didn't tell me. But yeah. I distinctly remember lining up just like you do for the Scully test. And they were checking everybody's hair.
Yeah. I don't remember having anything like that when I was in school.
Yeah. Maybe that was why.
Interesting. Yeah. It could have been. All right. Lice combs, they have been around for at least 3,500 years.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm going to show you some pictures of some here in just a minute. We're going to talk about
lice been around.
Yeah, they've been,
like that louse. You've been around town.
Yeah. Lice have been around for way longer than 3,500 years. I'm going to talk about that in a minute too. Okay. Delousing combs, that's what they were called, have been discovered by archaeologists around the world, many of which were very ornate and beautiful. Some of these combs even had inscriptions of phrases and were intended to be given as gifts between, like, the intimately acquainted. Can you imagine your lover giving you an exquisite delousing comb?
No.
What would be the equivalent offensive thing today? What could your lover give you today? Oh, like a douche. like, here, darling, maybe you need to use this vaginal douche.
Yeah. Wow.
To me, that would be equally offensive.
Yes. Agreed.
But
clean yourself, please.
But in ancient times, it was so common and it was so prevalent that I'm it was thinking, nothing. Like, it was like
saying this is making me think of Mulan. When she's getting ready and pampered for like her presentation where they put all the makeup on her and everything.
I haven't seen that.
You've never seen Mulan?
No.
Do you have Disney Plus?
No, girl. I have Netflix and Amazon.
You are coming over to my house and the next movie night that we have with Mexican food is going to be watching
okay.
Mulan.
Yes, yes. Hopefully Papacitos will get our order
yes.
right.
Yes, yes. They put like a comb in her hair, uh-huh. like one that only it's like kind of like almost like a barrette and then it has a fancy end to it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Like if they're talking about how beautifully designed it was.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about some things that I would like to go back and watch some TV shows and see if there's any references.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look. Like most combs today, many had two edges. One edge was a wide tooth comb just for like normal combing of your hair. And then the other was a fine tooth comb for delousing. So do you ever use the fine tooth comb, fine tooth edge of your comb? Do you have, first of all, do you have a double edged comb?
Double edged? No, but I do have, I bought like a pack of combs yes. and I do use the fine tooth one because I,
to tease your hair.
My hair and tease
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay. Unlike today's plastic disposable delousing combs, ancient delousing combs were often made of wood or bone or even ivory. Okay, so Mindy, I want to show you some pictures of these beautiful combs. This one that I'm going to show you here came from the Victorian era. I want you to describe that comb for us. If and by the way, people, if you Google searched delousing combs, ancient delousing combs or various combs for, you know, nitpicking or lice or whatever, there's a whole article and they show you many different pictures across time where archaeologists have excavated these combs. They're very beautiful.
Okay, so I'm going to describe the middle part as like a bookmark. Like the width of a bookmark, and then on both uh-huh. sides of the bookmark, you have a comb.
Yeah.
But I don't see a difference in the size of the comb. Like they both look like a fine tooth
okay.
comb.
In this case.
In this picture, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there are a hole on each like vertical end of the bookmark, which I assume is for holding the comb.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful, mm-hmm. but I don't see it as being user friendly.
Yeah. It's not practical.
Yeah.
Because it's a louse comb. So it's not practical in the sense that you would use it for anything other than delousing your head. And if you've never picked through somebody's hair to get rid of lice, you might not appreciate the design of this comb.
Would you want it to be double sided like that? I feel like I wouldn't trust.
Probably not.
Yeah, I would want a one-sided fine tooth comb.
Right. Well, because when you pick it out, you probably want to get rid of it before you go back in the hair
right,
again.
Right.
And that double-sided design would be, I would think that just hair would get stuck on it. Or you might accidentally reintroduce a lice or a nit or something inadvertently. But it's very beautiful. And also, like, the edges of it around where you put your fingers to hold it, I guess, which also doesn't seem very practical. It's very ornate, and it also seems like it would get stuck on the hair.
Yeah, but isn't that very
but
long?
It's very
like,
beautiful.
I don't think my fingers would, like...
I think it's probably short.
The picture makes it look maybe elongated.
I mean, who knows? I don't have any... There's no reference.
Size reference.
Right. There's no reference to how long this was. To me, this looks like maybe like just a few inches. But yeah, both sides are equal. But it's very ornate and beautiful. Okay. Let me show you this one from ancient Egypt. It's wooden. This is made of wood. I don't know what the other one was.
It looks like an organ. You know, like that you play
yes,
in church.
Yes, 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 yes.
this one I can tell one side is fine tooth and the other one is not.
Yeah.
But also this just like there's shit in between the combs. Like,
yeah, I think it's probably nits because on many of these combs, they found like either empty eggs, lice eggs, or eggs that hadn't hatched.
That is a lot. Was this used on multiple people?
No, but they, okay, Mindy, in ancient times, people lived with this. They just constantly had lice. They never really got rid of them. Per se.
Hmm.
It's like fun. Herpes.
Yeah, it's apparently.
It's the friend for life. Okay. This next one is, I don't know, maybe Greek, but I want you to describe this. Use your words and describe this because this is fascinating, if you ask me. I mean, the fact, I don't even know how anybody can make something so intricate today.
This looks like, you know, when they show like in the olden days, the operators and when someone called, they'd have to move the plug.
With a switchboard.
Switchboard.
Let me see.
Okay. Like that's what I'm getting. And first why all, is it so intricate? You're picking out lice.
Because but isn't I mean look how thin and intricate that is.
I don't see it. I think it's beautiful. I don't think it's useful. One end is fine tooth and the other side is not. I think there's a heart in the middle of this also.
Is that something you would just put on your dressing table and have it out for like?
Like I would
look at me. Like, I'm a rich queen.
If you went to Egypt, you said this one was Egyptian, right or not?
That one might have been Greece.
If you went to Greece and brought me this back as a antique,
yeah,
I would love this. It'd be beautiful. I'd put it somewhere.
But you wouldn't use it.
I would never use it. I mean, it doesn't seem practical.
Yeah.
The fine tooth comb that I use to tease my hair seems more like beneficial for pulling lice than that does.
I agree that it does not seem very practical. Okay. Well, here's another one that is probably going to seem equally as impractical. So it's very similar. Yeah. Same, people, you just need to Google this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But how about this one? This one is made of, I think this one is made of ivory. Okay. So like elephant tusks.
Oh, wow.
we shouldn't have.
This one I would like. I mean.
That one seems more practical. This one
I don't think any of them are practical. I don't like the double-sidedness. I think that's completely impractical. I don't like it at all. But the design on this one is a lot more intricate. And like I said, like if you were to give me this as an antique, like I would treasure it.
Mm-hmm.
I would not use it.
So you do not see a practical use for this in delousing your head?
No.
Or teasing your hair?
I don't like
or if combing
you didn't
your
have
hair.
The top of it. Like this side bothers me. I don't see a use for it. Like,
well, that's just the wide tooth. That's just to comb your
hair. I know, but can I get two separate combs, please? I don't need this.
Probably. You just need to tell your lover.
I mean,
don't.
I don't like that.
Don't be giving me this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all the pictures that I have for lice combs. Okay. So also another effective treatment during ancient times was shaving the scalp. That was effective at treating and also preventing infestation. So obviously if you shave right down to the skin, you don't have any hair for lice to, you know, secrete their little sticky stuff from their reproductive organs to lay their eggs. All right. The oldest documentation of treatment came from ancient Egyptians in the Ebers Papyrus from 1550 BC. And they said that papyrus said, mix date meal and warm water in your mouth. You digest it.
What is date meal?
I don't know. Like, I think of something like flour. But with dates. Yeah, I think of who knows.
I hate dates, by the way.
Really? Yeah, I don't like them either. So you mix date meal and warm water, in your mouth. You digest it and then you regurgitate it and then you spit it on yourself.
Who did this? The Egyptians?
Yes, ancient Egyptians. Okay. In order for head and pubic lice to have no place to live, they shaved their entire body. Okay. This means that the practice of having a hairless nether region is nothing new.
I'm not for a completely heatherless.
No, I know. It's just too,
like, trying to be with someone who's too trying prepubescent. To look exactly. That's exactly the word I was going to say.
Yes, prepubescent.
Like, are you a 13-year-old boy?
Yes. Are you a child molester? Because gross. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Ancient Egyptians frequently wore wigs. And because, you know, they shaved everything. And another ancient Egyptian treatment was spices mixed with vinegar and then applied to the scalp over a period of a few days to suffocate the lice. Moving on to 1200 BC, China used mercury and arsenic compounds. Prior to the Middle Ages, the following treatments were recommended. Okay, we're not talking about China anymore. Celsus in 30 AD mixed the following with oil and vinegar. Sandara, which is a gum from an African tree, mixed with soda scum, whatever that means.
I was going to say.
I don't know. I think of bathtub scum. And Brioni, which is a plant from the yam family. Pliny the Elder in 50 AD applied viper broth to all parts of the body.
Like a
viper
snake.
Like a snake. Yes. So apparently you would boil a snake, you would take the broth and you would apply that to all parts of the body.
So broth isn't another word for venom.
No, broth like the water that it was boiled in, because I do know that there was a common practice amongst the Chinese that they had a specific snake in China that they would boil, and then they would take the oil from that boiling process and they would use it to treat like back pain and stuff, because the Chinese men who came over to build the railroad and system in the United States, they came over and they used snake oil to help sort of repair themselves each night after working all day and night. And anyway, it was a whole thing about, you know, like we did an episode on patent medicines when Brian was helping me. And so we talk about that. Anyway, okay. Galen in 170 AD recommended some herbal remedies which contained alkaloids and so have some insecticidal effects. All right. 5th century Egypt. Priests were required to shave their body hair every day to keep off lice or anything else unpleasant. I don't know what that means exactly, but okay. In the medieval times, etiquette lessons on how and when to dispose of lice were provided to people in that time. It was improper to scratch in public. It was also improper to try to remove lice in public.
Again, every time I hear that, I just think of monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah. A Countess of England's diary from the 17th century documented that after visiting the king, they were all lousy. This story, among others, demonstrates that all persons were affected, from the royals to the serfs. So everybody could be affected by lice. And I think in this case, they were talking specifically about body lice. But I don't know for sure. It doesn't really specify.
Yeah.
Various recommended remedies from the medieval times included the following. A concoction of quicksilver and oil of roses. I assumed this was like applied topically.
I would hope.
And then back to basics, good old washing, combing, and medicinal cleaning of the head. drinking cheese whey mixed with a little vinegar.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah. They thought if you consumed this on certain days, it would kill all the lice on you and prevent them from reproducing. Thank God we live in the 21st century.
But think about this shit we do now. Like, are we going to sound as stupid as these people?
Oh, 100%, 100 years from now, somebody is going to be recording a podcast like this.
They're going to include an excerpt from this podcast.
They're going to be like, these morons.
Yeah. Margaritas were a little too strong for you.
They drink alcohol. Another treatment from the medieval times were... Mix the following ingredients and slather on your child's head to destroy lice. A pennyworth of sneezing powder, a pennyworth of ginger, and a little melted sweet butter.
Wouldn't that make you sneeze and just blow it all off of their head?
I have no idea. Or how about this? Rub tobacco juice into your child's head.
Okay.
All right. Okay, moving on to the 15th century treatments of head lice, Mindy. Even the king of Naples had lice. After examining his mummified body, they discovered he had a double infestation of both head and pubic lice. Yes, ma'am. The king of Naples had crabs. High values of mercury and body parts from an adult head louse confirmed that he was treating himself for pediculosis, which is the fancy $5 term for infestation of lice. Okay. 18th century.
It does sound fancier than
it does than sound. Lice. Yes. I have pediculosis. If I ever get crabs, I'm going to say I have pediculosis. Yep. Pubis pediculosis, whatever. Okay. 18th century, as a deterrent to head lice, gentlemen kept their heads shaved and wore powdered wigs. The powder was made from either starch, wheat flour, or powdered white clay. Although lice still infected the wigs, but at least they weren't on the actual person, and so they weren't put through the grueling, time-consuming, and tedious nitpicking.
That's what I was going to say. Wouldn't they still... be attracted to the wig hair?
Yes, they would. Yeah. But the wigs could be sent to the wig makers who would boil the wigs to remove the nits. Because remember, at high heat for a certain amount of time, it kills them. Okay. Women in this era were a different story. So lice were attracted to women's hair, and their crazy hairdos apparently stayed the same for months at a time, and they used various pomades to preserve the look. Pomades, get ready for this. Pomades were made of animal fat and wheat or rice flour. I mean, that sounds like something you're about to, that you're like, you're coating, you're battering your chicken fried.
Yes.
Your chicken fried steak batter. That's what they put in their hair. So the lice were so attracted to their hair. Okay. This part I love. It is said that they simply used long scratchers, similar to back scratchers used today, to reach the itchy places on their scalps. Also, these scratchers were made available to dinner guests alongside the silverware at fancy dinner parties. I'd love to go back and watch some movies.
Oh my gosh. Like,
what's the other one? What's the show that just came out? Something ton.
Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, yes. I want to go back and watch Bridgerton and see if there's any reference.
As much as most shows try to be historically accurate,
yeah,
I doubt anyone would ever think
to make a reference to a louse scratcher. Right. I mean, I want to see how these fancy dinners are.
I mean, to be fair, if I have my hair... like fixed or teased and then kind of an updo, I'm gonna take my pin
right
and scratch my head with it so I don't mess up my hair.
Well, it's the same concept.
I come by it honestly, apparently.
All right, Mindy, talk to us about some treatments going, you know,
back in the day.
Yeah,
so 19th 19th century Victorians. They would visit the local bathhouse for an arsenic and quicklime treatment, which would burn off their hair, and then they would be forced to wear wigs.
Why
was
would
that
you,
painful?
Why would you do that instead of just shaving your head?
I don't know. These, we, I mean, we know these arsenic? 19th century Victorians, they were probably all hysterical.
Well, yeah. And also, they loved their crazy drugs. They yes. loved them. I mean, if you've not listened to the the episode about patent medicines, oh, these people, they were a bunch of drug addicts.
I yeah. believe it.
Arsenic.
But at least you would get some kind of like
high
from it. Maybe yeah. soaked in.
Maybe
the skin.
You had to get high to be able to let your hair burn off, because that would be maybe. A traumatic emotional thing.
Yes.
And then everybody's gonna know.
But then you just throw on a wig.
Yeah. But when you're going around with just a wig and you don't have that lard and wheat flour in your hair as Paul
maybe made. They put it in the wig so people would think it was real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scratch maybe. It at dinner parties.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, we can tell wigs today from.
I can tell a toupee. But some of these wigs look damn good.
Yeah, that's true.
For the 20th century, it mostly included like herbal remedies, and tobacco leaves were included in that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm assuming as a topical treatment.
Yeah. People loved tobacco leaves, and tobacco is as like a medicinal thing. And we, Eric and I talked about it in the fumigation episode.
Okay. For the 21st century, mm-hmm. We treat with FDA approved shampoos and cream rinses. And we comb out the nits to ensure mm-hmm. there's no recurrence of the lice within these eggs that are about to hatch.
Okay.
And then you will treat a second time 7 to 10 days later.
Okay.
I would probably do it every day. Just saying. The paranoia right. would set in and I couldn't wait a full on week.
Yeah, but I think it can be neurotoxic.
Well, maybe do the shampoo and the cream rinse maybe 7 to 10 days, but to comb out, I would yeah. comb out every day.
Yeah.
Mindy, if not every hour of every day.
Brandy and
if not every minute of right. every day.
Brandy and I talked about this on Rectal Foreign Bodies. Like, who would you call to help remove a rectal foreign body?
Dr. It's already decided.
Okay, but I was going to say, for this, who would you want to nitpick your hair?
My cat?
No.
She would do a really good
she
job.
She needs to have a louse comb.
But she can get it with her teeth and her claws.
I don't think Suki would be good at getting rid of louse eggs.
Let's see.
Pick somebody who would be the contingency plan.
Knowing now that you would laugh at yourself if you had lice, I would just call you.
Okay. Yeah. I think I'd probably feel pretty comfortable calling you too, especially since we yeah. did this episode.
Yeah. To be fair, any embarrassing thing that ever happens to me, I'm calling you.
Just yeah, because we have that comfort.
Decided. Yeah. yeah, we're circle of trust over
yeah, yeah,
here.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So if I get crabs,
I got you, bitch.
Will you shave my perianal area?
Just give me a few margaritas yeah. first.
You'll be like, where are those clippers? What else you got?
So some of the other substances that might have been used across time. Carbolic acid solution, unsure what that is.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Cresol powder, also unsure what that is.
Me too.
Sulfur, mercury powder, and kerosene. Today, effective insecticides are used to treat head and body lice. Yet the number of cases of lice infestation has increased worldwide since like the mid 60s.
That's interesting.
Partly due to ineffective formula of products that's available on the market.
Oh, yeah. Probably because the FDA is like, oh, it's too strong with this or that. And you can't.
Right.
You can't use as much of this or that.
Right. Or it's improper use of the effective formulas that are on the market. And oddly enough, which I guess this makes sense, if the odor of the product you were using was too strong, people wouldn't use it.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be like too stinky. And then they'd be like, oh, my God, am I going to smell like this after using this? Or can I even sit here? Yeah. Was it supposed to like sit there and soak, and how are you supposed to sit there and breathe? I mean, it's on your head.
I think you're supposed to use it for like, I think you're supposed to use it for like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. How can you sit there? Like, what if it was really potent?
Yeah.
And you were like,
well, you probably shouldn't do it. Inhaling a Sharpie or something. Probably shouldn't do it in like a, you know, bathroom. But
yeah.
Okay.
It's losing efficacy because the development of resistant strains of lice. So they're just becoming resistant to it.
Oh.
Kind of like multi-drug resistant TB. That's what I think of.
Or like the Delta variant of COVID.
That as well.
But, you know, I don't want to get political.
Okay, so just how you talked about like kings and mummies and stuff were buried and they would found like double cases of lice. Historians considered them, quote unquote, constant companions because most people lived with them until their deaths, until about the 19th century.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just commonplace.
Okay, let's just...
If they had a picking comb at a dinner table, everybody had head lice.
let's just pick that apart for a second. Okay, let's pretend like, you know, you lived in the 12th century, Mindy. Just imagine never not having head lice.
I would be the queen.
I mean, I would keep my head shaved. I would totally keep my head shaved. Would you? Would you be willing to keep your head shaved?
Not if everybody had it. If everybody had lice, I wouldn't think that there was, I wouldn't think like
it was
odd or something that I could ever live without. Yeah.
So you, okay, but wait. So knowing that these things bite you at night, they excrete this stuff in their saliva.
Yeah, but you don't know anything different. Itch. You don't know anything different.
Okay, let's pretend you know that if you
I would shave my
head
and I would wear wigs
and
get
too.
Them boiled.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
For sure.
Because even when my hair just started thinning, when I had like a very stressful event in my life about 5 years ago, my hair started falling out like crazy and it was really, really thin. Yeah. I considered just shaving it all off and just wearing a wig. Yeah. Because I was living in LA and they had some really nice
wigs out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, head lice date back at least 10,000 years. And the oldest head lice was discovered in Brazil. Two mummies from the 11th century in Peru were found, and each with hundreds of lice. One which had 545 lice on its head. So they took the time to count.
So these archaeologists
took the time to count.
Are getting paid 5 cents an hour to live in, where was it, Peru? And count, who do you think counted these lice? Their assistants. Interns.
Yeah.
Their interns. Students.
Yeah.
Students about the trying to get their PhD.
Do you ever watch Bones?
No. Oh, I don't watch medical shows because they're filled with mistakes and I can't stand it. I can't take it. So I would rather watch lawyer shows because I don't know anything about lawyers.
True.
Except that I've dated a few and it hasn't worked out well for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's a forensic anthropologist and she has interns who, just like you said, are trying to get their PhD.
Yeah.
And I imagine those are the people that do the grunt work.
Yeah.
You know,
The bitch counting work. 545 lice.
Yeah. Is this a rounded number? Was there 543? And you
rounded
Well,
I don't think you would round to 545. Maybe,
yes, but it is
maybe,
oddly specific.
Maybe.
I mean, I feel like.
But also, general. Was it was it like lice bodies or were they nits and lice? I mean, yeah. Because 545 lice, like actual crawling lice, because that would mean yeah. that there were thousands of nits.
Unless they were, they all the eggs hatched while when the mummy was already dead and wrapped and buried and the lice weren't dead. And they all hatched and then suffocated?
Or they just didn't have a food supply anymore because they host
yes,
on
the, you're right. Yeah.
On blood.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Oddly enough, Miss Cleopatra herself was buried with a fancy knit comb.
Hmm.
Yes. Some other random interesting facts. Aristotle and Galen both believed that lice were born via spontaneous generation.
Okay.
Aristotle believed that lice spontaneously generated due to excessive humidity in the brain. This was when the theory of four humors was accepted. Okay, Aristotle. Galen had his own similar theory, but
go talk to Hippocrates.
Yeah.
Hippocrates, by the way, didn't say anything about head lice.
I'm shocked for once.
I know you don't like Hippocrates.
No, we
don't. I like him. I like him more than you like him.
You love to hate him.
Well, I love him because, you know, he was an advocate of like sex for the cure of hysteria.
Yeah. We love to hate him.
I didn't like the onion thing. I did not like the onion thing. Okay, what about Galen?
He took it a step further. He recommended using drugs that would induce or sustain a dry environment and would counteract the excess of wet and hot vapors. So maybe, like when we had talked about the powdered wigs, it made me think of this, like, if it's dry and not humid, would that also deter the lice?
Yeah.
So if you had a powdered wig, you may get lice, but maybe not as much as your normal humid.
Yeah. They were probably like, dude, don't come over here.
Yeah.
It's, you won't. Yeah. It's kind of like when I moved from California to Texas. Like I was telling people, don't move here. I forgot how bad the weather was. Well, they, with as far as Galen, he recommended alum, which is one of the drugs that he recommended. And Eric and I actually talked about alum on the fumigation episode because that is what they used for tightening of the vagina. Mm-hmm. It's like a drying. It's like a drying.
Yeah, but like tightening of the vagina sounds good. Drying of the vagina sounds bad.
Right. Well, to get a tight vagina, you had to dry it. So wait till you hear that episode.
Because, shrink wrap it.
Because we haven't talked about that. And Eric and I were discussing about who likes a dry vagina.
Like, that's no like, what do they use to make beef jerky? What's that process?
I don't know, but it sounds very similar.
Yeah. There's a word for making some kind of dryer.
Like a rub? No.
No.
Dehydrator?
Dehydrator, yeah. Yeah, that's what that sounds like. Like a torture
using
device.
A dehydrator to fumigate your vagina to make it tighter.
No, thank you. But if the drugs didn't work, if the vagina tightener didn't work... and lice were still spontaneously generating on your body, you could follow an appropriate diet, you could bathe, you could change your clothes, or like bloodlet.
Uh-huh.
So, gotta love Galen.
Yeah.
Somewhat normal, everyday things, and then
you like Galen better than Hippocrates?
A little bit at this point. A little bit. And then also topical ointments.
Mm-hmm.
Rose oil, egg white, wormwood. I don't know what that is, but it sounds nasty.
Oh,
I think
we've talked about wormwood on the birth control.
And it was used as a...
abortifacient.
Yes.
I think so. Mm. I think it's an abortifacient.
Soap, which we have come to find out is not
right.
accurate.
Right.
Or
Galen, check yourself.
And mercury.
Yes. Mercury will kill anything, probably.
Across time, people have been paid to quote unquote nitpick, removing eggs from hair. Which, again, like Christy and I said, I had no idea the term nitpick came from removing lice.
Yeah, and have you heard people say, quit being so nitpicky? You're being so nitpicky right now. Yeah.
In a role as like a leader who's over other people, like nitpicking is something I'm
Thing. Yeah, constantly. You're having to constantly nitpick. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to get you a louse comb. That's gonna
please
be my,
go to Egypt and get me one.
That's gonna be my white elephant gift to you.
Yes, I'm here for it.
Kind of like
it'd have to be a secret Santa.
Kind of like
one.
The detachable shower head. I
can yes, good housewarming gift. for centuries, women were the ones who were responsible for "quote unquote" nitpicking their family members. Mm-hmm. Even though I still think it should be monkeys, because that's what I see.
Right, I think they're probably better at it.
In 19th century, persons hired to remove nits from hospital patients were paid considerably more than the surgeons on staff.
Interesting.
Yes, because surgeons... right now the lowest paid member of staff would be the one who would have to nitpick,
which. I still like to make reference to in the 19th century, surgeons were not surgeons like we think of today. They were more like the barber surgeons, the ones that were trained on the job. They were not
the
they were not doctors. They So anyway, but nonetheless, they were skilled. Okay.
I guess before the mid 1800s, daily baths weren't a thing because they started growing popular in the mid 1800s.
Okay.
Washing your hair once per month was recommended. To be fair, I only wash my hair maybe once per week. If I wash it every day, white girl problems, it's too soft.
Yeah. That is so interesting because if I go more than about 18 hours without washing my hair, you will know it because it will be
I guess it
so
depends
greasy.
On how oily your skin is and your hormones and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have extraordinarily
Do
greasy
Do you have dry
hair.
Shampoo?
Yes, and I've tried different brands. Uh-huh. There is one brand that I preferred over the other, but I can't remember which one it was because it didn't leave as bad of a residue. But... yeah, I can't stand the texture of my hair when I don't wash it often.
Yeah.
But my mom is like you. Well, she doesn't go that many days in between, but she'll go, she'll go at least two. She cannot wash her hair every day.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand. I cannot relate to that because I have to wash my hair every day. Even if I wash my hair at night and then I sleep on it. And in the morning, if I come to work, you would notice that. Like some, you might notice.
I think
something is
you
different.
Would notice, and nobody else would.
Well, I'm gonna say that because you're my friend, that maybe you would notice that something is a little off about my hair. But anywho, okay. So daily baths grew in popularity. All right, and what else?
Washing the hair once per month. Yeah. Ladies of the day, unlike ladies of the night.
this is a different subject.
Yes. Would gather and have nitpicking parties. So that could be your mother's, sister's, friends. So instead of a Tupperware party, you're going to go to a nitpicking party.
So Mindy, next time we get together and we watch Mulan at your house, we're going to sit around and dig at each other's hair.
The poor people would just shave their entire bodies, including the pubic hair, to reduce the chances of lice infestation.
That's what I would do.
It's been said that 90% of children had head lice at any given time in this era. I'm surprised it was only 90, honestly.
I'm surprised too.
Yeah. Recommendations for head lice treatment was to apply a scalp mixture of vinegar and lard, which I honestly think some people still do. Makes me think of an I Love Lucy episode.
Everything makes you think of an I Love Lucy episode.
This is true.
Actually,
that's a lie. Normally, it's Roseanne.
Which I Love Lucy episode?
When Ricky thinks that he's going bald, so Lucy decides to give him the state-of-the-art treatment and, like, cracks all these eggs on his head and puts a stocking over his head, and he thinks he's getting this magical treatment. And I think butter was in there, too. I can't remember, but...
Interesting.
That's what it makes me think of. And she's like... massaging it into his scalp.
All right.
He's like, I think I can feel it working.
Lucy. Okay. All right, let's talk about crabs.
Yay.
Or pubic lice. Just to refresh your memory, these most often live on the coarse hair in the genital areas, including the perianal area, but they can also live on the facial hair. And Mindy, before we discuss further pubic lice, I want to show you a disgusting picture.
I don't know if I'm ready for this. No, thank you. I'm not looking at that anymore.
I am trying to show Mindy a photograph of crabs living in eyelashes. It is so disgusting. Yeah, they are all like on the hairs of the eyelashes, on the root area. It's disgusting. Okay. Pubic lice or crabs most often live on the coarse hair in the genital areas, including the perianal area, but can also live on facial hair. They are usually sexually transmitted, and so they are most prevalent in adults.
Which is probably why, like, if you see them on children, you know it's a sign of
child
sexual
abuse.
Assault.
Yeah, sexual abuse, yeah. So sad. They can be transmitted through indirect contact, but it's not as...
likely.
It's not as likely, yeah. Just as with head lice, in the past and the present, outbreaks occur at all levels in society and no one is immune. Mindy, you are not immune.
I know, but I would still feel judged.
To the pubic lice, okay? Anyone can be infected, regardless of age, regardless of race, regardless of socioeconomic status. So it doesn't matter if you have good hygiene practices or not. Visibly, these little suckers, pun intended, their body shape looks like a crab. They do not transmit diseases. Symptoms of pubic lice may take several weeks to appear. I found this interesting. May take several weeks to appear.
Yeah, you would think that's such a sensitive area that you would notice it.
Yeah. And it may include itching in the affected areas, especially at night, which was me sitting on the couch the other night going... Irritation in the itchy areas caused by scratching. Okay, this is so disgusting. And I texted you. I texted you because it said black powder in your underwear from louse droppings. And I typed that in my Google search bar and I sent you a picture and I said, I am so scared to hit enter.
I don't think you sent me that. You sent me a YouTube video. Don't send it to me.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Look, I sent you a text. I sent you a text yesterday.
Did I answer it?
And I said, I don't think so. And I said, oh, my God.
I was drinking yesterday.
Okay, that's why. Because I was like, oh, my God, I am so scared. Like, I said, I'm really nervous to click on images.
Okay, I do remember seeing that now.
And and you said, oh gosh, I have a story for this one.
Oh, that's when I was thinking about my friend that saw that patient in the ER.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't comment on my fear of
I don't think I knew. I don't think I read exactly that much into it to know that that was from droppings.
Okay. So anyway, so
you know what?
What?
Is weird?
What?
In my old apartment, old apartment, the countertops were like this fake, supposedly like laminate that looked like it was made of like rocks or something, which is supposed to be fancy. So if it was dirty, you couldn't really tell.
Right. Yeah.
And my cat at the time was an indoor cat. And you're going to hate me. I'm a typical white person. I let my cat climb on the counters. If she wanted to be up there, she could be up
there. I think all cats climb on counters. I don't think there is a cat that doesn't do that.
Anyway. And I was cleaning the counter one day, and I didn't see any mess. But like when I picked up the Clorox wipe, it was red. And then I looked at the counter and it looked like there was like little brown drops, like brown dirt. It looked like dirt.
So what do you think?
But whenever I wiped it up, it was red. It was flea poop, which comes out of the flea brown, like I assume it does a lie.
Uh-huh.
But when it gets wet, a louse, a lie, a louse, it's obviously blood. It's dried blood. So when I had the wet Clorox wipe and I wiped up the dried blood, it would become red again. Huh. And she had fleas. My cat had fleas. So it's flea droppings on the counter.
That seems like a lot of flea droppings.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
That's my point though. Yeah. Like I could never see like the top counter where no one ever sat. It wasn't in the kitchen. I never wiped it. So when I did wipe it.
I think it's best just to not look at the Clorox wipe. Like ignorance how is bliss,
how can you
right?
not see bright red though?
No, I know. But what I'm saying is like, you know, you wipe your counters and you just fold that Clorox wipe in half and you just move on with your life because, you know, like you could.
But when you see it though, mm-hmm. and you don't know what it is, and you're like, what the f*** is that? Let me make sure I got it all.
So how did you put it all together? Right now?
I Googled it.
Oh.
No, I Googled it. But like, I'm so disgusted by this, like, oh, black powder. And then I'm like.
In your panties.
Yeah,
in your panties. Okay, another symptom of pubic lice is small spots of blood or gray-blue spots on your skin caused by lice bites.
Gray-blue?
Yeah.
Like dead?
Yeah. It's because of I think it's because of something in their saliva.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay. Treatment of pubic lice. Shaving pubic, facial, and body hair was effective in treating and preventing infestations. Across time, they may have been treated with the same things they used to treat head lice, but little information was found specifically for pubic lice treatment in ancient times, so I'm just making assumptions here. today, treat at home with insecticide cream, lotion, or shampoo. Ask your pharmacist if you're unsure. And repeat after 7 days to treat any pubic lice that hatched during that time.
Would you ask your pharmacist about lice shampoo? You could just pretend it's for your
you
son.
You mean pubic lice shampoo?
Is there a difference?
Yes, there is.
Oh.
Oh, yes, 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 there is.
Would you say, my son needs it? I would. I would say, my slutty daughter needs it.
Yeah, I would definitely not indicate that it was me. Yeah, I would definitely deflect.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. No. Yeah.
It's not me. It's
what would be more embarrassing?
Asking for a friend.
What would be more embarrassing to you? Pubic lice or head lice?
Pubic lice because it's associated with an
sexually,
STD.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Talk to us about other things about pubic lice, other facts.
Well, just like kind of how we had talked about how like a lot of women now are into shaving all of their pubic hair. Like, yeah. I don't want
to say prepubescent.
I don't want to say fashion statement, but that's what it is.
They want to bedazzle, vajazzle.
Yeah,
their...
or have the... So in certain populations, like pubic lice has declined because women shaving. They even are getting laser hair removal. I have a friend that gets her vagina laser hair removal. And I'm just like, what if 20 years from now...
It's no longer in fashion. Yeah. Interesting.
To each their own.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You do you. Whatever.
Yeah. They're judging me, probably.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You did say you let that bush grow.
Yeah. But as a chastity belt.
Yeah.
I do trim for the occasion. the reason that they attach to pubic hair and or facial hair and not scalp hair is because their claws have adapted to the specific diameter of these hairs and the scalp is too fine. I'm sure everybody knows pubic hair is much more coarse.
Yeah.
And thick.
It is like wiry. It's like its own. Yeah.
One of the reasons that I hate shaving or waxing or whatever, because when it grows in, it is so thick and coarse that it's prickly and uncomfortable and it's almost itchy.
Yes.
When it grows in. Yes. So why am I going to? No.
I'm glad that you said this because I was wondering like why why can't they live on the scalp hair? That's interesting. So they're not, they're not like, okay. All right. They're not developed to do that. Okay.
Yeah. They can travel up to 10 inches on the body. So if a person has them above and below, it stands to reason that they didn't crawl there.
Okay. That concludes this episode of Human Lice. Mindy, thank you so much for doing this episode.
It's been lousy.
I hope you had a lousy time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review us. All right. Thank you. Yeah. And tell your friends about us, too. And we'll conclude again next week.
Ta-ta for now.
All right. Bye-bye.